The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's a footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dripping JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
And they can beat you up.
Yeah.
And it's gone. Not just they were... Because there were bullies who were wealthier, all this kind of stuff, but they didn't know how to scrap. They didn't, you know, like, you're like, hey, I don't care that you're a bully. I can punch you harder than you can punch me. And I'm, you know, that's part of it. The fact is, those two guys, or that family, they can beat the crap out of me.
And you're like, better than me in every way.
They're better than me in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, well, I told you guys I watched Goonies with the twins, and they quite liked it. Campbell was kind of lukewarm. He's like, that kid in the red jacket really bugs me. Chunk? Anyway, I hadn't watched it in ages, but he got on board, and they both really, really liked it. So we're going to go back. We're going to watch like some of the like classic 80 movies, right? But right. Then... when like the weirdo brother like shows up to save everybody, and he goes down like the pirate ship sail, and he's like, hey, you guys. And they're like, hey, he kind of looks like one of the Kachuk brothers. I'm like, yes, yes, he does.
Hey, Craig, wasn't it? Oh, was it Dazzo? Were people chanting that to Dazzo?
No, that was Dicchio. They were chanting that to Dicchio.
Was it Dicchio, was it?
Yeah, but Dasso was, get off my train.
Wait, what's that from?
From Ghost.
Ghost.
It's the stand-up.
The guy in the subway?
The stand-up comic. He's well-known.
The guy in the subway.
No, he wasn't a stand-up comic. He was the guy he was in the movie. No, it wasn't Stephen Wright. It was the chemistry teacher. It was the brain teacher scientist in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And he had if you remember, he like had a really hot wife in the movie, and everyone's like, how did he pull that? Because that was kind of the joke.
Not for the first time in this podcast, we are alienating generations of youngsters out there.
As we should.
What the hell are these old people? Oh, there.
Pick it up. I'm sure that's Stephen Wright.
Vincent Schiavelli.
Oh yeah, Charms, you're 5 years too young to know these people. You're confusing people.
I am. Stephen Wright's very funny though, but completely irrelevant to the story.
Stephen Wright would do it
guys.
Like he'd be like,
I don't know if Dubs wants to go through her '80s movies, because there's a lot to explain. Like, you have to be present for these movies to explain half of them, because they're not.
No, and there's sometimes like I misremember. Or I think like, oh, like that's a great movie, and it's, you know, themes that are appropriate for 12-year-olds, and then something will come up, and JP will look at me, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I forgot about this part."
That's true.
JC, can you find a picture of Stephen Wright? And you're right, he's the monotone guy, isn't he? JC,
you know what? Hold that thought. We're gonna have a little segment we'll put together.
A looky likey comparison.
Looky likey. All right. Good. All right. Anyway.
Looks likey, but it's not.
But MGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime. We had big news last night. It's one of those worst kept secrets, I think, you can talk about. It's been discussed for some time. We knew they were working towards this, and hopefully before the World Cup. And that was Jesse Marsh extending for 4 more years, another World Cup cycle. And there's lots of opinions out there, has been. Should you sign a manager, a coach before the tournament, considering the tournament can go wrong? We've discussed it in depth on this show, Craig. And I think most of us, if not all of us, kind of agreed, yeah, you get him signed up as quickly as possible. He's brought everything to the table that we hoped for, and more. Mm-hmm. And this is a job that is more than just football coaching. And he's brought that to the table as well. So there shouldn't be any angst, concern, worry about this, correct?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if they crash and burn in the World Cup, lose all three games, I think, I guess people will be like, is that ink dry yet? But otherwise, I got no problem with it.
It's, did he sign in pencil, right, Gregor?
Yeah.
Can I erase that?
Invisible ink.
It's some stability, and he obviously really enjoys the job, and he's done a good job to this point. Yeah. See what happens.
Well, and no considering issue. Dubs, the U.S. job will probably be available post World
Cup. Ah, fuck the U.S. job.
That's what he said.
Yeah that's what he said. Like, why would he want any part of that gong show down there? Mm-hmm.
Three times the money, probably. Maybe that's why.
Nah, we got five families up here, rich people that paying him. He's getting well paid. That's where we're at. We're at these. We can't get funded by governments. We got to go out to families because they never paid the fucking taxes in the first place. So now they got the money to give it away to people. At least to give it away to Jesse.
All right, this is going to be Craig's show today. He's on one.
I mean, really, that's where we're at. Seriously,
it's a great point. It is. Canada soccer can't afford to pay a half decent coach what they're going to demand on the open market. But corporate Canada has stepped up. Or private Canada.
It's not even corporate Canada. Yeah.
It's the Saputos. Yeah,
corporate Canada don't want
any Whitecaps. Now, in that release, there was no mention of MLSE. Now, I've reached out to Canada soccer, haven't heard back the official line there. Presumably, it was on MLSE's part not to. But before we start hammering them, we do need to know the background here, okay? And we don't know right now. I know people right now are going off on social media saying how typical MLSE on you know, supporting Canadian soccer. But we don't know right now. When we find out, we will.
Yeah, I've got it here.
I don't think that's the right way to do it, Sharms. I think hot takes is everybody wants to listen to. Because who owns MLSE?
Oh, Rogers.
75% by Rogers. Yeah. Rogers is doing huge cutbacks all across telecom. They've gotten rid of certain layers within their Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. There's no presidents anymore. There's just straight CEO, Keith Pelley. We've talked about this. There's a cleaning of the house and budgetary constraints for Rogers. They're looking for their next quarter. They're trying to clean up. They're leaning into AI, all of these things. So who owns MLSE and why are they not part of this? Sorry, that's my take. I don't know if you think I'm right or wrong. And sorry.
No, you're right. I'm just saying until we definitively find out, it's we can go off on one right now. And then an hour from now, we find out the background to it. And okay. And we seem like idiots. That's all I'm saying. It's very new news.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
There's plenty of time to be choosing sides here.
Right. What we can focus on is the information that we do have. So the people who are instrumental in providing funding for Marsh's reappointment were Vancouver Whitecaps ownership, Carmi and Joey Saputo Foundation, Seth Burrow and Jen Hamilton, the Adnani family, and an anonymous donor. So this is private kind of Canada coming to the fore and the Canadian Soccer Foundation.
It was me.
You know, it was you. Yeah.
I gave $7.
You could never keep quiet about it.
No, I couldn't. That's true. I'll be too busy paying my back. Yeah.
But I mean, what we do know now is that his title is no longer MLS men's national team head coach.
No, right? So we know what it is. It's Sharman's proper head coach.
Yes.
It's free pies.
We got a big slice of the Canadian soccer pie.
No, we know what we do know as well is Jesse Marsh is not crusty. He's magnetic and he's a salesman. He's gregarious. He's all of those things.
I hear he's yeasty though.
Yeah. We don't think I don't even know what to do with that.
I know. I'm just baking. Sorry.
But okay, back to the topic at hand, though. Yeah. It is good. And you're right, that stability adds a lot, I suppose. And even if they do crash out in the first round, it's how they're going to crash out will be the fingers pointed towards Jesse Marsh. Because as we've discussed on this podcast before, it is a tough group. There is a scenario where they don't qualify from this group. But go out fighting, and I think people won't give the fact that they've got their manager signed for 4 more years another thought.
Yeah, and I also think that Not that you should be framing this and looking at failure with your glass half empty, but there is a built-in excuse with, you know, this rash of injuries that has affected this national team. So I think that there would be a more favorable outlook on even potential failure for Jesse Marsh. Whereas before, he maybe would have been under more pressure. And a lot of the people who were against signing him to a contract prior to seeing how he performed at a World Cup pointed to that. You know, to say like, okay, he's brought this team to new heights. They're highest ever ranked. They went on, you know, deeper runs, say in Copa America. They've seen more success, even though it hasn't translated into a trophy. You're playing a system here, I think, that benefits, that is favorable to the talent pool that you have. Where you look at the typical profile of a Canadian soccer player at the elite level, I think this type of philosophy of play, this Jesse Marsh ball, is appealing, I think, to the masses, to bring in the eyeballs, to bring in the fans. But I think it also brings out the best of the players that we have at our disposal. And I also think in signing this contract, you have the addition of Kennett Heiner-Moeller, who's going to take some of that responsibility off of Jesse Marsh's plate. So he's still going to be very focused on building and laying the foundation, the proper foundation for this game to be taken seriously and to bring all of Canada soccer, including Casey Stoney and the pathway to the highest heights of women's game, to new heights, you know, to new levels that we've never seen before. But that's particularly leaning on the men's program. And they are under pressure to perform, to do things they've never done before, to get a point in the group, to get a win, to get out of their group, to go on this quasi deep run that we've defined. So I think that Jesse Marsh was always keen to re-sign, but I think now the conditions are such that he's set up for success. And yes, there's a lot on the line. It's a risk from Canada Soccer's standpoint, but I think they feel very comfortable about this extension.
He says, this is Jesse, from day one, I've felt a deep connection to this team, to this country, and to the direction of the program. I believe Canada has tremendous potential with this generation of players and look forward to seeing the development of soccer across the country. That's important. I'm thrilled to make a longer-term commitment here to helping develop the program for years and continuing to push this group to the highest level. And it is a great gig for Jesse Marsh. Let's not kid ourselves. Mm-hmm. There aren't many jobs in world football where you have this much say in how the programs run as a coach. Correct, Craig. Usually you're a head coach. You worry about the first team and shut up apart from that. This is a guy that now has his fingerprints potentially all over Canadian football.
Yeah. Yeah. And the pressure is not even close to what it would be for 210 countries out of 211 probably. Like, we don't have a media that's going hard. It's like, you know, in England, you got like 20 different media outlets just hammering the hell out of your coach if you don't do well. I mean, hammering them. Remember Taylor? Was it Taylor with his coach? Or the turnip on his top of
Graham
his head?
Graham Taylor. Yeah. Yeah, that's turnip when he failed to qualify for 1994, right?
Exactly. That's not happening here.
No, maybe that was the Euros. Anyway, Euro 8.
There's also something about building and growth, right? And development. We are not fucking Mexico. We are not Spain. And we don't want to be the U.S. This isn't a culturally... What?
You're fucking Mexico?
What? No, we're not Mexico. What?
No. Gosh. No, you would like...
Well, we're not fucking them with that relationships with
another country. Well, look, I would tell you I'm attracted to Mexicans.
No way into a courtship. Be more respectful.
But my point is, I've been a boss. You need some time to turn things around. You need the ability to look past each quarter. We're just talking about shareholders and Rogers. We can't look at this the same way. And the people that do want to look this as a business all the time, you can't look at each. It's got to be growth. I mean, I remember Giannis Antetokounmpo. Ooh, I said that all right.
Nice.
They asked him, in a basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks. They asked him, so he just lost. I think it was in the second round after they came back. They won the year before. And they asked him, and it's a great clip. They asked him, so was this year a failure? He goes, failure? He goes, we got to the second round. I made all these friendships. I grew as a player. He go, you know, like, it's easy for him to say because he's also one of the best players in the world, but the way you look at things have to be in long term. And Jesse, if he's working off of a 3 month, 6 month, hey, you can be fired at any time. You're looking for another job. You're halfway out the door. Mm-hmm. You're all, like, you do not want you join a team. You don't want that guy getting his resume sparkled up every single minute, right? Like, it can't be that way for growth and development in Canada if we're going to build this game. That is such a stupid, I would argue with anybody, that it's not only bad business, but it's bad across the board on visibility, marketing, everything there. You're missing out on an opportunity to grow with Jesse. And he's looking like all of a sudden that U.S. job, even though Craig said, yeah, it's a shit show. It is. But if they throw him $6 billion, he's like, oh, maybe I'll go there. He won't go there because he's got a great gig. He's grateful and he's loyal. He's an old school loyal guy. Now, that's crazy. But still, 4 years is a long time.
Well said. I think that's a good clip for social, like, actually. You nailed it.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got a lot of belief in this team and this squad too, because if he was looking 3 or 4 years down the road and he was like, I've got an aging team, a team that doesn't look as though they're going to be around. There's going to be a lot of changes. I have no idea what's going to happen. They don't look competitive. That might have changed his way of looking at things too. So, and then the players go, yeah, great. I'm glad they'll be delighted with it, I think. The majority of them, obviously the couple that are going to miss out on the World Cup might think, well, it might have been different under somebody else. But
I hate
especially if they don't get another opportunity, like your Junior Hoilets or your Kamal Millers, right? Theo Bear, he'll have a crack at the next cycle. But from a player's perspective, like Wonger, that was an excellent point. But Forrest, what you just said, Jesse Marsh is all in. He's all in, like, on the culture of this team, the identity of this team, but he's also all in on what it means to be a Canadian. So come on in, Jesse. You are already welcome in all of our homes. You know, bring your olive oil if you want, or your lemons that you've grown in your back garden. I don't give a shit. Like, I love who you are. I love how you present to the world, even though some people might accuse him of being performative. Like, I feel like he's as authentic as it gets. And I think that trickles down to the players, to the Alistair Johnson. We've said it ad nauseum on here. Fuck it, we're Canada. But he's unabashedly committed to this team for better or for worse. And the players sense that. We saw it in the way he went over the top to defend them and went over the line, right? Like, where you want to toe that line, when you want to be brash, you want to have swagger, you want this team to have a certain amount of arrogance, right? Because that's something that he can bring from the U.S. That's something that they do really well. We need to do that a little bit better. And now I think it's a little bit tempered and it's just at the right level. You know, it's at a little bit of a simmer, so you can control it and you can spike it if you want, but you can just kind of bring it down a little bit. Whereas it's really hard to inject that into a group of players or a team that doesn't have it to begin with. We have it in fucking spades. So let's go. And the players are fully bought in. And now you've got a coach who's really in it. And he's like, it's committed, like it's right there. So I think this is huge for Canada soccer, for the development, for the camp poutines that he runs. That is really plugging into the players who are going to be on the radar or already on the radar, but really important players down the line. So the development piece, yes. The cultural piece, 100%. But the performance piece, even with all these injuries, that is going to be extra. And I think this team can still do it if they can hang on in a group stage and just get into the round of 32, even if that's as the one of these eight best third place teams. I think this team really has the potential once these players start to come off that injury list, whether it's Fonzie or Moyes or whoever. And I know we'll get to your big question, Sharms, but I think this team really can go on a deep run.
Well, one thing I noticed about Jesse is, and we've all had the chance to speak to him away from the cameras and the mics, He really cares about these players.
Yeah.
And he's excited about them. You know, you hear him in front of a camera, a microphone, and obviously there's going to be a slight spin. Every single manager will do that. But away from the cameras, he has a real connection to and a relationship with these guys. Mm-hmm. And not just as footballers, but just as in their personal development. You hear him talking about Ismaël Kane.
Yeah.
And how he went to visit him as a Swolo when he was, you know, struggling at Marseille. And he took him under his wing. And look what's happened there with Ismaël Kone. This guy's matured in front of our eyes into one of the key players in this starting 11. And that is so refreshing to see from a manager who's not just all gruff and all whole puff and just, you know, attitude and look at me. No, this guy is a guy that loves his players, and his players seem to love him as well. That said, here's a question for you, Craig. What are the odds that he finishes this 4 years as Canada coach?
Mm.
It's a long time.
99%.
All right. Oh, love it.
Good for you.
Dubs, what do you think? What percentage?
Jeez. I don't know if I'll go as heavy as that, but I'll say 85%.
Wonger? Can you be 99?
This market is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. I am less optimistic on both of you. I'd say like 40%, but that's good still. That's still good because I want, if it's the next World Cup,
you're welcoming.
I know I am. I'm just kind of putting it in perspective.
What would get him fired? I mean,
I'm not saying get fired. I'm not saying that.
Oh, what happened? Him leaving.
Oh.
Saudi Arabia. Remember that the guy from the high guy at the US team just like left to go to Saudi Arabia for billions of
Kroger.
Dollars. Kroger. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think Jesse's gonna do that. No, you know what? I'm a 90%er now that I just thought about it.
Okay. We just talked about how loyal he was.
But things change. Olive oil business goes up and down. You the markets in olive oil. Like
he's all in.
Retire.
40%.
Retire.
Well, listen, I mean, you got a Copa America, probably not confirmed, but let's hope it happens because it's brilliant. You got Copa, you got Nations Leagues, you got Gold Cups. Mm-hmm. These are all tournaments that Canada has to start genuinely competing in. And they haven't competed in a Nations League or a Gold Cup yet, properly. The way we expect them to, under Jesse Marsh. The States are going to have a new manager, probably, not Jesse Marsh. We know the talent available to that team. Mexico, kind of rebounding, fun to watch again. It's tough. At what point will Jesse Marsh be held purely to results? Or will it always be beyond just results, I wonder? Because of what he does off the pitch, as opposed to just X's and O's on the pitch.
I think that the litmus test for that, about whether or not he's held...
Lithmus.
Barcelona. is based on this World Cup, based on how they perform. And I think he does have an out because of all the injuries, as I mentioned. But if this team performs well, then you've set a higher standard for yourself. And then your tenure and your reign as coach can be measured on your results and how you perform in Copa Americas and Nations Leagues and Gold Cups. Absolutely, more so than in the last 2 years.
What I like about this is that he knows what's coming as well beneath this current team. He knows what's coming through the system, from the Bim Pebbles to players that we don't even know about right now. And like Craig said, he's looking forward here, and he can grow this team and be successful with this team, but there's also a wave of talent, bigger waves as we develop further and further. There's going to be a national training ground in no time in the next year or so, right? That's a huge thing for a manager. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm excited by it. He understands this is more than just the 26 men in this squad and the guys who just missed out. There's a wave of young kids who we don't know about yet that he does.
A growing player pool. What do you think, Sharms, about percentage? His likelihood? Yeah.
I will say 75%. He will stay just because 4 years, it's a long time, but it also goes really quickly. I mean, Christ, the World Cup under John Herdman is 4 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. I remember watching that, those matches, the Belgium game, the Croatia game, John's comments. I remember those. It doesn't seem 4 years ago. It goes by in a flash.
Mm-hmm.
So unless he gets, you know, things start going awry at the top of Canadian soccer, and it seems that they're pretty stable there as well right now, but that could change. We've seen it happen before. If that remains stable and him and Kevin Blue have a really good relationship, they seem to work very well with Peter Agrusso. I see him staying happy, but it could change. So I'm putting a 25% chance that it could change and that he could be lured elsewhere with a strong Copa, maybe a Gold Cup to his name.
Yeah.
He's an ambitious guy, right?
What are the percentages of whether Kevin Blue hangs around for 4 years?
That's a really, really great question. Because don't you think, Craig, and not there's just Kevin Blue here, but the lure of a home World Cup is massive for these guys, these career people, career builders like Kevin Blue. They've seen their trajectory go up, 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 and say, wow, then we got a World Cup to think about. You wonder once that's gone and there's other people knocking on their door. So yeah. I would say this.
Well, he's going to have people knocking on his door, right?
100%. He's done a great job. There's more chance Jesse being here in 4 years' time than Kevin Blue. How about that?
Better chance that Jesse's here than
Kevin. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's not like the buddy system. Like if one goes, the other goes. But I think they really enjoy working with one another. And I think each kind of spurs along the other. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a... You okay, Warner?
What happened there?
Like working with a husband and wife, you know, like where it's like it's a package deal. Like I don't think it's that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that the allure for each is working with one another. That's part of why they're enjoying each of their jobs.
Yes, it's a great relationship. It seems anyway to us. But then again, sure. once the front door closes, who knows what's happening in the house.
Yeah. But they are yin and yang, couple. Look right?
Man, they're wonderful. Oh, what a nice family. Oh, the darkness descends and that front door closes. Yes, right.
I swear to God, Kevin, if you wear that vest again, I'm going to snap.
Fuck's sakes, Kevin. I've told you once, told you 1,000 times, no more vests.
but they are very yin yang, to your point, Dubs. Like one is very measured and strategic, and the other is not saying Kevin Blue is not authentic to himself, but he's a businessman and it feels when you're talking to him, yes, you're getting great responses. You're getting transparent, authentic responses, but they're also measured. They're also, he's not, you know, and I would argue Jesse is, I wouldn't say mercurial, but you're getting hot takes sometimes that he doesn't always, I mean, even when he, how many coaches have we heard say, I screwed up. I didn't handle that properly. He said it right here on Footy Prime when he was talking
about Kyle Aaron.
Yeah. He goes, and to admit that, which can be exposing yourself to further criticism just in the media, but also how you're graded, right? Like you're being graded every day on what you bring. And if you said, hey, we heard what you said on Footy Prime, you're fired. You know, you don't know what people are grading you on, right? When you're being analyzed and, hey, they're taking you. Well,
apparently it's attire, according to Dubs.
Well, Dubs it is. Always attire. Right.
Yeah. Tell about
she's looking for the hottest fit on Jesse Marsh and Kevin Blue. Like that's like Kevin Blue. Dubs wants to dress Kevin Blue. Like if he was her 12-year-old son, no vests, right? Like...
Or like when I was a kid, like we used to have those books where you would pull out the little silhouettes, like the 2D people, and you had like the dress or the vest or the skinny jeans that are in gray, and you had the little flaps that go over them. Mm. Choose the shoes. Yeah.
I'll say this though. Jesse Marsh met with the media yesterday to talk about the squad, the 32-man squad, and he must have known he signed this deal at that time. It wasn't a few hours later.
He was just bursting. He was in rare form. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. He must have been very happy and was just like, oh, you really want to tell them? Can I tell them? No, Jesse, you can't. I want to tell them.
Imagine he's like, you guys.
Not one of the insiders had this. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Not one. Hey, Josh, where were you, mate?
calling people out.
You know, Josh Cloak's a friend of the show. So
I know. But I still like that you're calling people out.
Yeah, Jesse had a little dig for him, too. He's like, Josh, we'll let somebody else ask a question.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Well, that was the press conference yesterday, Sherms. What did we learn? Yeah. Is that kind of where we're going?
Well, we learned a lot. It was a good press conference, right, Dubs? Because usually you learn nothing from press conferences, right? But we got some information. We got some facts.
What do you think, before you start, Sherms, what do you think... We live on press conferences that say nothing versus press conferences that say something. What's our hit ratio on the say something?
There's more chance of Jesse Marsh being coached
from anybody
in 4 years' time than there is to see a genuinely interesting press conference. Does that make sense? Or is it the other way around? Anyway, you get the idea. Generally speaking, you get little from press conferences.
Yeah.
Because managers don't want to do it. Players don't want to do it. and they'll dance around any good questions, generally speaking.
So right? 1 in 10, 1 in 20?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we learned from Jesse, we learned that Alphonso Davies won't be with the team in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. He'll show up in Edmonton, and that he's likely won't be available for that first match, but he will play in the World Cup, as Jesse Marsh said. Now, my question mm-hmm. to that is, does Jesse Marsh think we're going to win the World Cup and he'll be available for the semifinals? Or does he think, well, he'll make the third game. He'll make the Switzerland game. Don't know. That's a question to ask. I'll ask him when I see him. If he was there, do you think you're going to win the World Cup? He'll love that.
Right.
Promised David is making great progress. He will be in the World Cup squad. So that's obviously extremely promising, so to speak. Moyes played 32 minutes in a training match, which is massive. That might be the, outside the Fonzie news, it's probably the biggest news. I think it's enormous.
Yep.
Richie, Larrea, Luc de Fougerolle, Alfie Jones, all close to training. In fact, Alfie Jones could be in full training this week,
mm-hmm.
is what he said. So a lot to get through there, really. But overall, I mean, that's a pretty positive press conference, Dub. So he's got to, I guess, look at the glass being half full. But those injuries seem to not necessarily result in players missing the World Cup.
No, but then I think he, like, the caveat to all that is he's like, I said at the beginning I wasn't going to have a 32-player camp, and here we are in Charlotte, and we're down here because of the heat, because a lot of people are bemoaning the fact that they're not in Canada. It makes sense that they're there to acclimatize themselves and do their preparation, put the players through their paces in really hot and humid weather, so they're as best prepared as they can be. But he said, and here we are, and I've got a 32-player camp. And he also said, like, somebody like James Pantemis needs to be ready in case there's an injury to Max or to Dane. And that kind of backed what we were talking about with that dynamic in those three goalkeepers that we're projecting that will be part of that roster. And other players that he's had conversations with, whether it's Junior Hoilett or Theo Bear or Kamal Miller, that, and maybe not all three of them, but like, there are key players that he's had conversations with that will need to be at the ready, you know, like, just buy your phone, you know, make sure, because if anything happens here, or the players, the aforementioned players, you just went through that long list, if anything goes pear-shaped, because there might be setbacks, there realistically will be setbacks. Yes, pear-shaped. That you need to be ready. So I think this list, like, we didn't see the provisional list. So it's not a list of 50 players who have strong chances of making this final roster, but it's more than 32.
Mm-hmm. Dubs, provisional, what do you normally, and this is me being completely, like, ignorant about, what do they normally set aside? You have your 26
yeah.
for World Cup. Provisional means what? Can you call them in at any time? Or, like, what's the rule once the tournament starts?
I think it's June, then is it the 9th? I think it is. There's a date where you can replace yesterday. Injured player.
Yeah, I think it was the 10th, maybe even okay, that 10th. Late. Yeah. yeah.
So right 2 days there. Before. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Junior Hoilett, if you are a James Pantemis, you could be called in 2 days before, while JC and I are doing a tech check at Earl's at 601 King Street West with the team from the Star events for our watch party. But they could be called in that day on the Wednesday. Party. Not for the watch. Not, oh, for the watch no, yeah. party.
You're going to get canceled. Don't call it a watch party.
Oh, sorry. yeah.
Oh, no, Jenny will come party. Down and shut no, it down.
It's a watch party of HGTV's greatest extreme makeovers.
yeah. Jimmy's appearance on that. Just going to keep playing the episode right. of Body yeah. Damage.
Exactly. You guys think we're doing a watch party of something that's happening, a big, big fat tournament. We are watching every bad outtake of Footy Prime. We're linking them together, and we're watching Footy Prime for 2.5 hours, just so Ooh, everyone
that's
knows.
That's not a great 2 hours.
Well, yeah, some of them would be funny.
You're not
there's things
it.
That we have not been able to put on even our dark yeah, web would get
we
us in
to
trouble.
We have to cut some things out, usually when Craig's going off in some broadcast company.
Yeah,
I have those in a vault somewhere, just in case one day I get, like, you know, abruptly canned or for AI or whatever. I got a bunch to just throw out.
We know you're done. You're done, JC. No, I'm not.
To go back to your question, Sharms, and kind of the positivity around these injured players, where there were tons of question marks. We had no idea about Alfie Jones. Forrest, you were saying you had heard he hadn't put weight on it, right? So I was thinking worst case scenario, hear this from Marsh. And is he selling it a little bit, right? And as it pertains to Davies, is he kind of underselling it in terms of where he is in his recovery, so that anything that's slightly better, we see as an upside, we see as a plus. And then as it pertains to Promise David, friend of the show, Jordan Wilson, I really like this spin. So I want to give him credit. But, you know, as positive as he was, like, he's as fit as he's ever been. He's in phenomenal shape. He's ready to go. Like, he was really effusive kind of in his praise of Promise David, the footballer, and all the, like, the dedication and the hard work that he's put in as it pertains to his diet, to his sleep, and everything that he's been doing for his recovery. But Jordan was like, he's highlighting all of this. He's going to be ready. This is great for Canada. This is great for Jesse Marsh, and obviously for Promise David. But why was he so underutilized prior to this? Is it maybe like throwing shade on Promise David, the professional, prior to this, saying he wasn't as fit as he possibly could have been, and that's why we didn't see him have more minutes? I really like that take. I think it's a bit cynical, and maybe we're reading too much into it, but I think there might be something there.
Well, that's the point. Remember, Craig, with Promise, since he got, it's amazing how an injury can elevate a player. Since Promise got hurt, he's become Robert Lewandowski. and how he's been dominating Canadian soccer for years. And he's a guaranteed starter, and he leads all goal scorers ever with 80 goals in 50 international.
Yeah, we've never talked more about his strike rate, right? In the minutes and his appearances, like, he's got the best strike rate of the team in terms of the minutes he's received. Yeah.
Like, we need to get a bit of a breath here, right? Now, we all know what Promise has, the potential of Promise David. It's exciting as hell. But he wasn't going to start, I don't think. Well, maybe he was. Who knows? But he hadn't been starting for Canada and Jesse Marsh prior to this. So we do need to take a bit of a breath here, right? And say, yeah, hopefully he's healthy, of course, and he can play a big role. But it's not as if we lost a starter when Promise got hurt.
No, just an important profile, I think you would say, that would add something to our squad. Absolutely.
Because his season was incredible. Well, incredible. It was very good at Union Saint-Gilloise prior to the injury, right? Which means we've all seen the potential of Promise for some time and say, this guy can be a starter and he could be an impact player. That guy we need, 100%, but we hadn't seen it yet. And part of that, Dubs, you mentioned it, that the high press of Jesse Marsh's football, that was talked about before the injury in the last year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. Does Promise, he needs to work in his fitness. I've heard that exact phrase, needs to work in his fitness. And he's done that, obviously, which is great. But the fact that we're celebrating and we're really happy about Promise David having good sleeps and Moise Bembido playing 32 minutes of a training match 2 weeks before a World Cup. If you look at the glass being half empty, it sucks.
No, you're right. Yeah. I prefer to look at it as glass half full, but realistically, yeah, we are grasping at straws a little bit.
That's what it is. We're grasping.
100%.
Like Elfie Jones. Straws. He hasn't played for months, Alfie Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, whether he gets back to fitness and he plays a couple practice games, I mean, we're talking about the World Cup here. Like, it's not easy to do. Almost impossible to do, to play at that standard without having a bunch of games under your belt.
Even a guy, Forrest, who we're not discussing because he's fit, in Derek Cornelius, who hasn't played meaningful minutes in, what, 4 months?
Suits Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And even then, he was coming off the hamstring niggle, and we didn't see him for, like, two 90-minute games.
If we choose this team by guys that have played minutes played in the last few months, minutes played, let's go through who's the back four. So you probably have, despite Richie missing out on the last few weeks, you got Richie Larea still, played a lot this season. Then you got Joel Waterman and probably Ralph Prizzo. Yeah. No, he's been out with a concussion. But yeah, probably Luke DeFusserole.
Yeah, but that's so you got just Prizzo, recent DeFusserole, for that ankle.
Sorry, Waterman, DeFusserole, centre-back partnership. All right? And the right-hand side you have, I guess Alice has played two 90 minutes back-to-back. We'll give him the nod there. right?
Sigur.
Oh, there you go, Sigur.
Yeah.
Minutes played. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Alice has played enough football since his recovery to say that he's back to full health.
Yeah.
At least.
But it's still not very much football.
Mm. It isn't very much football at all. Yeah. Which means they're fresh. Match
fitness.
Glasses half full.
Glass full.
These guys aren't going to be fatigued and tired in the World Cup. Man, they're going to be the freshest team at the World Cup. Mm.
I know, but you don't want to be...
Be handy.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't want to be fresh after you've been grouped. Nobody likes that feeling.
Or groped. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Back to Wonger's courtship with Mexico.
Get off my train.
Everyone feels fresh.
Craig, you were talking about match fitness, though. I just heard you, and I was wanting to hear, like, Alfie Jones, you mentioned, like, that guy's, he didn't play for Middlesbrough in the final, right? Or the playoff.
He's nowhere near. He hasn't played for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Sharm said, we have to take a breath. And it made me laugh because at the exact same moment, Dubs took a gulp of, and it was like right close to the, I was like, oh, that's good timing. sorry, Jimmy, you're not here right now. There's your deep inhale and sigh.
Yeah.
We're thinking about, the other thing I was thinking about Promise though, the reascension of Kyle Larin has allowed us a bit of breathing room, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Where we go back to Promise, to your point, Sharms, he wasn't the guy before he got injured, for at least in Jesse's mind. He was coming on, changing the game, all that kind of stuff. You guys talk about profile all the time. But I'm trying to play a little positive here. All of a sudden, Kyle Larin, I know, we can be positive too. Kyle Larin coming, like his reascension into this team and his great run, even though it got dismantled by some poor intern who was pressured and some executive coaches who were like, I think that could be a great storyline. And maybe one of the biggest storylines, we talked about who's going to be the household name.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about John David, just who's going to pop the goals. But if Kyle Larin comes back from kind of, I don't know, like limbo, professional limbo, and all of a sudden is the leading scorer for Canada, puts us into the Sweet 16. I know I'm throwing basketball, NCAA basketball, but isn't that a great storyline? And all of a sudden, all these people who are missing, like there's 11 new players or 11 players not being invited back from 2022, and Junior Hoilett probably being the highest level guy that at least got missed out on. There's some really great stories to take from yesterday's press conference too. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Right? Actually, like, I want to hear Forrest on Larin. So obviously he's in scintillating form. It ends rather poorly because of Spygate at Southampton. But because of the uncertainty now, because of that team not getting their chance to play their way into the Prem, possibly that team being dismantled, coaches let go. He's on loan from Mallorca. They drop down to the lower level in La Liga. He needs to have, for Kyle Larin, like his next steps at club, he needs to put himself in that shop window. We've talked about this and like using the World Cup as a platform to vault yourself into conversations for who's going to be the guy at my club, whether, you know, it's La Liga, it's the Eredivisie where he didn't have very much success, or he's back in the championship where I think he's really well suited. So Forrest, there's a lot on the line for Kyle Larin, the man, the footballer, as he's getting into like maybe past his prime, arguably.
Yeah, there is, because if Southampton had managed to get to the final, and well, they did, but got kicked out. But if they'd actually won that, it would have been probably a little easier for him. His future would have been probably decided. They had options to take him, and they would have had the money to do that. Now it's completely up in the air. Like, I'm sure he's talking to his agent, and the agent's, well, we don't really know what's going to happen with Southampton and the money and the penalties and everything else that go along with it. So have a good World Cup and let's see what's going on. Because if he does actually do have a good World Cup, we know that the spinoffs of that will he'll be fine. There'll be a question mark about him going into a top five league. I think no matter how well he does at Southampton, it's just a different level. And I'm not sure he could get to that level. So I think the championship sides will certainly be all looking at his situation at Southampton and looking to pounce a number of clubs in the championship to grab a hold of him, because it does seem to suit him, the championship, and he's proved it at that level. And I think he'll get a lot of interest from the championship sides.
But maybe Mallorca just say, hey, listen, this guy has still got gas in the tank, and maybe we want to see how he does back in Spain. Right?
Yeah.
No, it's big summer for Cole Lahren, though, that's for sure. Oh, sorry, one guy. I just got a slight update on the whole Jesse Marsh MLSE thing. Not too much. We'll learn more in due course, but not to assume anything right now. And that there's a lot of layers to this that then just meets the eye. So just saying that. So just heard. So stay tuned is what I'm saying.
So everything I said about Rodgers 30 minutes ago, forget about it.
Yes, yes. Well, what you said was true. They have cut costs.
Yeah.
And now, whether that relates to this, we don't know. Yeah. So,
but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not offering support.
Right.
100%.
I wanted to go back to Kyle Lahren, and this is, once again, not understanding the pyramid. Craig, did Southampton get anything money-wise to be able to afford a better team by making that playoff, that third-place playoff, and then they lost it? Like, I'm just trying to, like, lost the opportunity. I know they lost the opportunity to go in and play in the Prem, but by finishing in the top four or five in the championship, does that do anything for you, for that club?
No.
It doesn't.
what it does do, I mean, their parachute payment from when they were relegated from the Premier League, but I guess it was last year, I guess.
Yep.
They weren't long enough in the in the Premier League where they would have got maximum parachute payments. So that'll get a little less and less. So no, finishing where they did in the top four or five doesn't mean squat.
You're SOL. You're full shit out of luck, right?
Yeah. In fact, you're going to have less money because the parachute payments start to go down.
Right.
And those are massive. You look at the teams that get relegated, they outspend the championship teams by considerably. Like, hence why you see Ipswich, Burnley, they've really used that parachute payment to a great effect to get themselves back up.
Well, Leicester, for example.
There's a good example, yeah. Well, they got penalized for points too, right?
Yeah, as well, yeah.
You know, they got themselves in a financial mess.
It's more and
unless you're one of the big four clubs, you're going to get penalized.
Hey, Craig, like, it was rare that you ever saw penalty deductions, points deductions through financial irregularities in the past. It's incredible how it's pretty commonplace now. Mm-hmm. And now these teams have to get their books in order because the league are just not allowing you to take advantage, unless you're Man City, in which case it's fine.
Well, right. I mean, there's different rules for different clubs for sure.
See, Alan Shearer was saying this, if City are found guilty, then Pep's time at City has to have an asterisk beside it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, whether I don't think for a second Pep Guardiola, say they're found guilty, who knows? They got a lot of lawyers. Say they were found guilty, I don't believe for a second that Pep Guardiola knew what was going on behind the scenes. He is, I think, just a football coach. But you wonder if he had suspicions. You know, I mean, he heard the noise. He's asked the questions in the press conferences, right?
Well, and the fact that every player he goes for is like, yeah, we got the money for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Erling Haaland, can we afford him?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, sure.
Just we'll have him for you. Don't worry.
We'll do a big airline sponsorship, the one that we actually own. So we'll take it from this pocket, and we're going to put it into this pocket. And we're going to say we made $500 billion on a sponsorship deal. That's how they make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the gray is. Like, how do you, you know, determine what is owned and operated by the owners of the club, which is United Arab Emirates, basically.
This edition of Footy Prime brought to you by Shaman's Proper Pies.
Fly Emirates.
All our millions of dollars are going from one pocket into another pocket.
That's right.
And that's how we get around the old tax issues.
So Footy Pride Media Inc. is now siphoning money over to Charmin's Proper Pies.
Yeah, we need it.
So everyone knows the billions and billions.
It's more desperate. Okay, so I think for the big question, we'll use the Jesse. We'll just reconfigure it because that was a great conversation. And I think it's more pressing. We can get to my actual big question for today, tomorrow, or whenever.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. We've still got, it feels, because the camp's opening this week, it feels like the World Cup's right here. Still got a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So let's just do a little promo too. We will be doing a reacts video on Friday, a reaction video to the roster drop. So not only on YouTube, but on our podcast. So get ready to download that on Friday night or Saturday morning. So you can wake up breakfast with Footy Prime. Usually it means Craig and I on the couch together, hugging and cuddling with someone in between us. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We usually include someone else. It's usually Calgary Hobo. Yeah. And then we feed them. So that's what we do. Calgary Hobo.
That's quite the promo.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to have a cuddle party with Craig and I? Just a little in between her.
Big old bed.
Yeah. Maybe a stand-up cuddle. I don't want to be lying down and arguing about who's the big spoon and who's little spoon. Pass.
Dubs, we know you're the big spoon. Dubs is like, I'm only the big spoon.
Yeah. Pubes in my pasta. You gotta eat that. Good old Band-Aid.
Do you need that?
Ah, stepped in dog shit.
Don't mind if I do.
So good.
And Craig, the other thing we're going to promote, the Star Events, is also Craig's virtual Q&A on Thursday. So sign up for that. We just posted it on IG and shared it. Craig will be answering all of the questions that are posed to him, all of them, transparently, authentically.
You'll be able to see us everywhere, basically, over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you break it all down, we are going to be everywhere.
We are.
Every day here on Footy Prime. I guess we can't quite mention the other thing just yet.
Need to be signed. Yes. You and I need to sign something for us to become real.
You can use the same disappearing ink that Jesse used to sign his contract.
Right. That's right. That's what Jimmy did.
What we can say is...
Kaiser
Thank you to our partner, SiriusXM, for another edition of Footy Prime. And of course, BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Or your one-stop shop.
That's not the tagline.
Oh, looky lucky. Here we go. Looky lucky. Okay. Brilliant. Justin Sean Dyche.
Love looky likey. Looky likey over there, left. No, but the little kind of subliminal ones are the best balls. The best looky likey up ever. Did you look for looky likey?
Looky likey. Oh, see, it's pretty good. And the guy from Ghost.
Yeah.
Do you understand now why I was confused? Look at the hair.
I do, but it's also, this is the 80s and early 90s where balding men they grew their hair long and they didn't realize you could shave it off, especially white guys, because Michael Jordan was already doing it. White guys look great bald. There are a lot of good looking bald men.
Kelsey Grammer.
Frank Forrest. Yeah.
The Kelsey Grammer. The horseshoe. Yeah.
The get off my train guy, he was homeless. What the fuck? He got no razors to cut off his hair.
He was also
a ghost.
He was a ghost.
He was a ghost. Only Patrick Swayze could see him.
Oh, that's right.
That's why he said, get off my train.
Whoopi could see him. Whoopi could see him.
Yeah.
She was kind of sick, though, right? Whoopi. Like, when she did that scene, like, didn't she? Wasn't. Oh, that. Because the pottery scene. Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. It's one of the sexiest scenes in movie history.
Well, they had an outtake where it was Demi and Whoopi doing the scene.
Right, because it's supposed to, because Whoopi took the form of Patrick Swayze.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right?
Oh, I was.
So, although on the movie,
we
saw Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore doing all that stuff with their hands. If actually that happened in real life, it was Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Which also is kind of sexy.
It is. And here's the thing. If Whoopi Goldberg is buxom. She was a buxom woman.
She was
and
buxom.
I would like to be little spoon to Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg? How did I say that?
Gilbert?
That was my mom's maiden name. You called her Whoopi Gilbert.
Just throwing it out. Whoopi, you're always invited on Footy Prime.
Is Whoopi alive still?
Yes, yes, of course she is. She is
very much so.
She has a very successful talk show.
Oh, The View.
Yeah.
Is that The View?
Yeah.
She's still on that, is she?
Yeah. Okay. She's a potter on The View.
She's a what?
A potter.
She's a potter. No wonder I haven't seen her.
No, Potter.
Oh, Potter. Potter. Graham Potter.
Potter.
Graham Potter is on The View. That's it. He'd be a great guest.
Are you good? West
Ham. Next great time at Chelsea, Whoopi Gilbert.
Just signed for Manchester City.
He was a boy right back in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
So next edition, we'll have Whoopi Goldberg and Graham Potter. JC, nice. Work on that. Okay. Until next time.
Lucky likey.
Yes. Wow, you can barely tell the difference. All right, we're out of time. Thank God, because this has gone off the rails. Make sure you like us or don't. Subscribe, please, to the podcast. Give us 5-star reviews and lots of comments. Yes, we'll be getting to lots of comments the next little while as you drive the content. Okay.
Sorry, Sharms, we're about 48 people subscribers away from 4,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. So if you please support us on our podcast by subscribing, but also on YouTube and look across all our socials, you'll get different content across all boards because it all kind of resonates differently. So I'll give you an example. Tom Harrington last week did really well on Instagram. He always did well on, was always going to do well on the podcast, but on YouTube, not as well. But our Kyle Laren's Southampton story did really well on YouTube. So you never know what's going to hit.
You never know. Mm-hmm. The old algorithm can be our friend or it can be our enemy. And one day we'll hire someone to take care of it for us. Even though we get emails every day from all sorts of small pockets of the world where people have the solution to our terrible, terrible numbers on YouTube, as they'll tell us. You're that terrible number on YouTube. I help.
Are you bulky from Perfect Strangers?
Oh, yes. I'm pretty sure it's bulky.
No, he's Cousin Larry.
YouTube guru.
Yeah. Every day, Sharms and I and our Footy Prime podcast at Gmail gets I see your YouTube's not doing well. I can help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. $50 a day. And we're like, oh, I don't know if that's real.
Love that they address it to, hey, Mr. Footy.
You've won a cruise. Well,
we had one yesterday. Like, you can't. I mean, with AI the way it is now, if you can't use AI to have a decent email that we can understand, then you're probably not our guy for YouTube. There's one yesterday. It was bloody awful. This person, I don't know where they're from, but Jesus Christ!
Don't be hard on Jimmy.
Oh, I can't find it anyway. It wasn't very well put it that way. Anyway, that's Footy Prime.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
So good.
And
get off my train.
Talk about off the subway rail.